Commonwealth Transportation Board meeting, April the 18th, 2002.
Good morning. Thought that was a great dinner last night, the Commonwealth Transportation Board. We should have made it in honor Carter Myers. He said it was the nicest one he'd been to. Carter, we'd have been saving that one for you. We welcomed yesterday Mr. Ambrose Bailey at the workshop, the newest member representing the Fredericksburg District. And Ambrose, glad you're with us this morning. We also welcomed yesterday our new commissioner, Mr. Philip Chouquette, and hope everybody had an opportunity to chat with him at least briefly or to some extent last night. We will follow the agenda. I want to recognize Commissioner Myers at the end of the meeting, and Mr. Bailey's going to have to slip out, I understand, in a little while for some business reasons. So we will get underway. The first item is period for public comment. To my knowledge, we had no one that had signed up for public comment. The next item is the approval of the minutes from the March 21 meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded that we approve the March 21 meeting. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Next, we hear from Julie Brown, Assistant Division Administrator on Secondary Road Division.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I have two items for you this morning. The first item is to present the summary of changes to the secondary system for the month of March. For the month of March, we had a total of 23.27 miles added to the secondary system. We had 0.57 miles abandoned for a net change of 22.7 miles added to the secondary system. And we request your concurrence in this month's changes to the system.
Mr. Chairman, I move for approval.
Second.
All right, been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All right, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Mr. Chairman, question.
Yes, I'm sorry, this is a question before the...
No, after.
Okay.
After.
All right, motion carries. Hovey?
How many miles do we, on the secondary road, add on a per annual basis usually, secondary roads like this?
Probably in 200.
200 miles. 200 miles over 5 years, 1,000 miles secondary roads, which obviously will impact our maintenance as well. So it's it adds up after a period of time.
Yeah, we can give you an actual breakdown of our history over the last few years if you'd like to see.
I wouldn't mind having a little bit of that just to get a concept about how many miles we have per year. This is all things outside the purview of the Department of Construction, right?
Yes, this is new subdivisions or what's right. Going on as far as development.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, Julie.
Okay, the second item is an industrial access project. This is actually a project that this board has previously provided an allocation for. It's an industrial park in Pulaski County for the New River Valley Commerce Park. This request was simply to change the length of the industrial access road, and you do have a revised resolution which makes it very clear that this action will not change the bond period for that project. And the bond expiration will still be based on the September 2001 approval of this board. And so that's the only reason you have a new resolution.
Mr. Chairman, this item was discussed at length this morning in the Access Roads and Ground Transportation Committee, and we recommend approval of this item.
Okay.
Question? Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Did you get a second, sir?
No, I haven't gotten a second yet.
Kenny
said. Okay, Kenny, it's been moved and seconded.
The draft in my package here is, what are we voting on, the draft or the original?
You should have, it says draft, but that is the new resolution which states that all the contingencies will remain as of September 20th, 2001. So it does have draft on it. We'll take that off, but that is the revised.
But you want the draft should be removed.
No, that word will be removed, but that is the new resolution.
Actually, the draft says September and October.
It says it's based on the September 20th resolution, and the expiration is always 30 days after the 5-year, so it should have October 20th, 2006.
Yes, that's what I said.
Which is what was on the original September resolution.
That's right.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right, very good.
That's right.
Everybody clear?
Getting
there. Any other discussion on the motion? All right, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Thank you.
Next, thank you, Julie. Next, Larry Caldwell, Assistant Division Administrator for Traffic Engineering.
Good morning. I've got three items for your consideration today. The first is action on abandonments on the primary system, two sections of road. One is Route 6 in Fluvanna County, 0.2 miles. The second is Route 94 in Carroll County for 0.05 miles.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded that we adopt the motion on these two routes. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, Larry.
Okay, the second item I have is an action on a discontinuance that was requested by the University of Virginia for Route 317 on the grounds of the Blue Ridge Hospital. It's 1.52 miles in length, and the request is that we discontinue maintenance on that roadway.
Right. Move for approval.
Second. Been moved and seconded that we act on that discontinuance. All in, any discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
The third item I have is an action on a bridge designation. Scott County has requested that the bridge on Route 613 over Moccasin Creek be named the Wood Memorial Bridge in honor of Jonathan and Nancy Wood.
I've been moved and seconded that bridge receive that designation. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Larry. Rosemary Jones, Right-of-Way and Utilities Division.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. We have two items on the agenda. They are both routine conveyances to adjacent property owners. I therefore recommend your approval.
Second.
All right, been moved and seconded, and these deal with Route 58 and Route 654. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Thank you, Rosemary. All right, Mr. Frank G. From the Construction Division.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, members of the board. As I mentioned yesterday at the workshop, I have 43 contracts at a total of $60.9 million to present to you for your consideration this morning. And I'll go through the list. On page one, that's the interstate system. I would point out the last item on there, which is the Route 627 interchange. If we recall, that project was rebid because of a protest as a result of the contractors, and we had a savings of $2.6 million on that contract. So the savings would be a little bit more, but we took the time to do a slight redesign, and of course the redesign resulted in a little bit extra cost. So the 2.6 is a true savings that we had in rebidding it. So it proved to be to our advantage. On page two, we have the primary system, and we're recommending award of all of those contracts. Pages three through nine are the secondary system, and I would note that the reason we have quite a few secondary roads to take action on is that we deferred taking in bids from December, January, and February, so we have a buildup that's catching up. But on page three, we would recommend award of those contracts. Page four, we would recommend award of those. Page five, we would recommend award of those contracts. Page 6, we recommend award. Page 7, we recommend award. And on page 9, we recommend award of the first three contracts, but would recommend rejection of the last one. Those prices were significantly over what we feel like is appropriate, and we think we can get better bids by re-advertising that. And I recognize that Mrs. Welch may ask me a question, and in that regard, I did sign about 14 or 15 contracts this morning that are in your area, so you will be...
Thank you very much. I'm glad I didn't do anything wrong.
You did not do anything wrong. But this one, we would recommend rejection and re-advertisement of it because of prices. Page 10 is the urban system. We recommend award of that contract. Pages 11 and 12 are miscellaneous contracts, and we would recommend award of the ones on page 11 and award of the one on page 12. On page 13, if we recall, I mentioned yesterday at the workshop that there were a few contracts in which the contractors would not hold their prices. This is the only one in the surface treatment arena in which the contractor chose not to hold his prices. And therefore, we would ask for rescinding the award that was made on that particular contract in December, and that we proceed to award it to the second bidder. And the second bidder is there also on that sheet. The estimates and the prices, the second bid is well within our estimate to award that contract to the second bidder. And that will avoid any delay in getting that work underway.
Yeah, Roy?
Frank, you just made the comment to these secondary projects. They've been delayed, and you're putting them out. That's a good deal. We need to do more of them because that's a grassroots to the state, and I know they appreciate it.
We still have some that we had to relate until the April bid opening, so you'll see some more, a fairly large number of secondary jobs next month as well, while we're catching up with what we had delayed to other dates.
You keep the majority of Virginians happy if you keep working on the secondary.
Thank you. Page 14 is a contract that the County of Dickerson took in bids on January the 22nd for a pedestrian and bridge facility. This is the next several pages are enhancement projects, and I know the board will be taking up some action on that later on today at another workshop, but we recommend award of this particular contract. Page 15 is a contract that the County of King and Queen took in bids on March the 29th, and we recommend award of that particular contract. Page 16 is a contract that the Town of Vienna took in bids on March the 21st. We recommend award of that particular contract. Page 17 is a contract that the City of Roanoke took in bids on February the 12th. We recommend award of that contract. Page 18 is a contract that our Administrative Services Division took in bids on, and it's for hired equipment to basically do the seeding of wildflowers on our interstate and primary roadways. We feel like it's most economical just to rent the equipment to spread the seed and do the seeding rather than doing it under a full-fledged contract. So we'd ask for award of that contract for hired equipment for our wildflower program. Page 19, we have two other contracts that Administrative Services took in bids on. The first one is an on-call contract. By on-call, I mean if we have loop detectors that fail and need to be replaced during a period of time, then this is a contractor that we can call to come in and replace those loops at a unit price. And we recommend award of that particular contract. And the last one is a contract for hired equipment for miscellaneous maintenance and secondary construction in the Salem District, where we're hiring equipment and an operator to supplement our state forces to do designated work. And we recommend award of that contract.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept the recommendations in the block.
Those are approved.
Been moved and seconded that all of the bid results and the column where it sets forth the recommendation from that division. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Next, we have Peyton Carney with consultant agreements. This is Frank. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to introduce the next three items. If we recall at the workshop yesterday, we talked about consultant contracts and presenting them to you for information and so you can discuss the various aspects associated with them. The next three items from the construction division, environmental division, location is design division, they're going to come and present as they normally would, although they will not be asking for a formal resolution, but everything else will be the same, and they'll be making a presentation for that.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
Good morning.
Morning.
This item 10, is a consultant inspection contract with the firm Michael Baker Jr. Incorporated, which provides inspection services for bridge repair and painting operations in the districts of Stanton and Salem for a period of 3 years, having a maximum compensation of $7 million. This is a fixed billable rate on-call contract, which provides for a maximum of 9 senior inspectors and 7 regular inspectors doing peak construction operations. Additional services to be provided when requested by the department may be the review of shop drawings, notice of intent analysis, and CPM review. For your review, proposed projects, assignments, anticipated expenditures, and other contract details are noted in your contract information packet. And if you had any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
If I may make a note here, as I've discussed with our representative from the Attorney General's office, because this project just coincidentally involves the firm that I resigned from to accept this position, I will recuse myself from any involvement with this contract at this time and work out an appropriate delegation authority for the chief engineer, Mr. G, to assign to approve this contract, should that be the course of action that we take.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I thought we had a discussion at length about how we were going to handle these yesterday.
Yeah, we're not going to. These are all just for our information. There's no vote required. Philip just wanted everyone to know that when the time comes to actually sign the contract, that he will delegate that authority to someone else, to Frank G.
Yes, sir, but I thought, although you were going to appoint, you were going to look into this, or the commissioner was going to look into this, and that based on what Mr. Myers had suggested yesterday, and that we were going to continue to handle these the way we have in the past, and if I'm incorrect, please correct me, but I thought that that's what we had decided.
Well,
I believe that Mr. White is correct. I thought yesterday you said we would put it back into the committee,
right,
from which it never came out of officially,
right,
so that we could come back to the May meeting. But we have been operating on voting on these matters.
We have.
And the thing is, the committee's recommendation, at least,
has not come forward yet. It was to do what we're doing today, but it has not been brought forward to the board yet. We agreed yesterday I would reconvene that committee and then bring it before the board definitely at the next board meeting, that recommendation of the committee.
Well, we got our lawyer here. I think that's acceptable. I think you got the question of whether it would be legally enforceable, but if that's been the past practice, we can proceed on that basis. Okay.
Well, Mr. Walton will get his what he wants in May.
That's right. Okay. We'll just you want to take these one at a time, or we'll do it in the block. All right. Why don't you then proceed, Pete? That's the only one you've got.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. Fine. When we hear from Jeffrey Rogers. Thank you.
morning. The Environmental Division brings before you today a consultant agreement with the firm of Harris Miller Miller Hansen Incorporated for statewide highway noise abatement engineering services. The purpose of this agreement is to supplement the Environmental Division staff for the preparation and coordination of statewide highway noise engineering services in order to obtain timely project clearance from federal agencies, including the Federal Highway Administration. It's necessary to supplement our staff due to the highly specialized nature of the work, the need for timely completion, and the complexity of the studies. This fixed billable rate agreement is for a term of 3 years or a maximum compensation of $3 million, whichever comes first.
Any questions, Jeff? All right, thank you. Next, we have from Location and the Design Division, Muhammad Mashar.
Good morning. I've got three consultants for your information that will be presented to you today. The first consultant contract is a contract with the consulting firm of HNTB, a corporation, in designing 7900 Franconia Springfield Parkway interchange with I-95. The contract will help us, the consultant will provide the supplemental survey, complete right-of-way, roadway construction, and structure and bridge plans with signs, signals, lighting, and all other necessary information for us to send this project forward. The construction cost for this at this time is about $75 million. We have negotiated a maximum compensation of approximately $6.2 million, which is about 8% of the construction cost. I'll be more than happy to answer any questions you may have.
All right, Kenny?
I'd just like to make a comment. I would like to thank the people at VDOT. 3.5 years ago when I came on the board, the discussion of the fact that a major arterial had no access on to or into I-95 or the Springfield Interchange came to my attention. And at the time I was told there was no way they could do it. Well, I'm glad after 3.5 years there's a way to do it.
Thanks.
Any other questions? Yeah, Rand.
Will this then be considered a part of the Springfield Interchange project?
Everything within 5 miles of the Springfield Interchange gets considered to be part of the Springfield Interchange, I have found.
So this is, never mind.
That was a flip answer. It technically shouldn't, but I suspect we'll get credited.
It is an independent project, though, by itself, as far as...
It's a separate project.
Yes, sir.
A six-year plan.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right. The next consultant agreement that I have here is with the consulting Wolpert LLP to provide surveying in the Richmond District for 3 years. The maximum compensation is $6 million. This is one of our what we call limited services contract. The consultant is on call for our use. All the work will be completed within these 3 years from the date of the contract. I'll be more than happy to answer any kind of questions you may have.
Okay.
Okay, the next agreement is with Hart and Profit Incorporated. This is a survey contract for our Lynchburg district to provide all types of surveying in the Lynchburg district for a period of 2 years. The total maximum compensation would be $500,000, and the work, as I said, will be completed within 2 years.
Mohammed, it says that we've received a proposal from. Do we receive any more proposals from any other?
We usually go through a procurement process and we select people for this. It just goes through the same process that we usually do. So there's no difference between selecting this versus selecting for a specific project.
Okay, any other questions on that? All right, we'll take them then in a block. Thank you, Mohammed.
Sure, thank you.
Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion been moved and seconded to adopt each of the resolutions on these that are in the item 12 in the book. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? 10, 11, and 12. Next, action on design projects. Mr. Samuel Hayes.
Good morning. I have eight projects that we would like to take action on this morning from L&D. Our first project is Ayler Road in Frederick County. This project runs from approximately a quarter mile north of Route 277 to Route 642. The purpose of this project is to improve the existing widths and grades and site distances. Currently, the section of roadway has two 10-foot lanes. We're recommending going to two 11-foot lanes with a 12-foot center lane for left turns with curb and gutter, as well as a shared use path on the east side of the roadway and a 5-foot sidewalk on the west side. We had a public hearing last May. We had 65 people that attended that public hearing. Nine expressed a positive in favor of the project. Two were opposed to the project. Our current estimated cost for this job is $6.7 million. We anticipate to our current target advertisement date is mid-2003. We recommend approval to the major design features for this project as proposed at the design public hearing, with modifications to eliminate the sidewalk on the west side of 647 and to extend that 10-foot shared use path on the east side of 647 to Tasker Road.
Move to approve.
Okay. All right, any questions on that? All right, again, all right.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. We'll take these individually. I know we need to pull one of them out. All right, all in favor of that action, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, Sam.
Thank you. Our next project is Fontaine Avenue and Jefferson Park Avenue in the city of Charlottesville. This is in the southwestern part of the city from corporate limits in Albemarle County to JPA. That's on Fontaine. And then also JPA, the main emphasis is to replace the bridge over Norfolk Southern Railroad. Our purpose is to widen Fontaine Avenue, to add a center turn lane and bike lanes in each direction. Same thing on JPA, as well as to replace that substandard railroad bridge. What we're proposing to have is two 11-foot lanes on Fontaine with two 5-foot bike lanes, a 12-foot center turn lane, a 4-foot planting strip, and a 5-foot sidewalk on each side, and similar a typical section on JPA. We had a hearing a couple years ago. We had 44 people attended the hearing. We had a number of comments. 20 either supported the project or with some modifications. Two were opposed. The combined cost of the two projects is approximately $9.8 million. Our current advertisement target is spring of 2004. And we would recommend approval of the major features and location of this project as approved at the hearing.
Any questions on that? We can take these in a block since this is design and location, and we'll pull one out that we need to in D. Any questions on the Fontaine Avenue improvement?
That's a good project.
All right, next. Next one, Ralph.
Okay, the next project is the Little River Turnpike in Fairfax County in the city of Fairfax. This project runs from Pickett Road to Lake Drive for approximately a length of 2 miles. There are actually two phases of this job. Phase one will address spot improvements at selected locations as consistent with a corridor study that VDOT did 5 years ago. Phase two will widen the road to 6 lanes. We don't have enough money to do all of phase two now, so our goal here is to do all of phase one with this project, as well as buy right away for phase two on those parcels that are affected by phase one. We had a hearing in December. 91 folks showed up for that. We had no one that spoke in opposition. The total cost of phase one, including the right away for phase two, is $12.8 million. Our target advertisement is early 2004. And Our recommendation is for approval of the location and major design features as presented, with modifications to improve the operations to the entrance of on 236 to the Turnpike Shopping Center.
Question, move for.
Yeah, any questions on this?
Yes, sir. As I understand it, then what we're going to do here is design the entire project, but we're only going to do phase one. And my question is, was that thoroughly understood by at the public hearing? And not just are you aware?
Yes, and that is the intent, and that was conveyed at the public hearing.
Okay, very good.
Thank you. Hovey.
We could design the whole project, do the first phase. Do we have the ability, if funds are available, to acquire the right-of-way for all the other phases?
Not at this time, sir.
No, what I'm saying, do we have the ability, from a logistics and legal standpoint, that's always been a problem in the past, is buying right-of-way. Can we, by designing this and starting with the first phase, can we, if funds are available, buy right-of-way? Because that's always a cost that goes up all the time.
Yes, that's the intent.
So we can buy right away then.
Right.
That's the intent. Okay.
But the funding is only for the parcels that are affected by phase one.
I understand, but during the process, if the money becomes available to do that, it makes any sense. We could buy right away, at least have that part out of our plate.
Mr.
Yeah.
Sort of an answer, Hobie, to your, if you've ever ridden this stretch of the road, it is a true bottleneck, and I wish they had all the money for phase two. I'm less worried about the right-of-way on this 2 miles because it's a settled community. In other words, I can't think of one thing they built new on there since they built the Northern Virginia Community College.
No, I know this. I grew up in close to this area, so I know this one really well. This has been a long time needed. So, but my point is, if things become available, because this is a I suspect real estate values have gone up in this area. I know substantially. So, if the
Mr. Chairman,
rise, we could do that. That'd be helpful.
A follow up on Mr. Kling's question. Mr. Kling, I hear you saying that you're really not concerned about the purchase of the right-of-way.
Being able to acquire the right-of-way today or as part of this phase, because it is a settled stretch of road in the sense that, you know, the 7-Eleven's already there, the community college is already there, all of that stuff has been there for 50 years. I can't think of one new thing they have built. And besides, I think the county has proffers along the right-of-way also.
On that right-of-way.
I mean, there are. I mean, you have service roads paralleling the road. I'm not all that concerned. Besides, there's nothing we could do about it anyway.
Okay. Well, I know we've got some service roads there, and that's what. And that's why I'm glad to hear you say that you're not concerned.
Plus, we have room in the center line.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Randy.
I just wanted to compliment whomever on staff wrote this report. This is probably the best explanation of public hearing comments that I've ever read.
I'll right. pass it along.
Hovey?
That's a good comment. I concur with that. My only point to Kenny was assessed values of real estate have gone up significantly in Fairfax County and probably beyond inflation rates that we have for right-of-way acquisition. All I'm saying is if the time occurs, buying something now would probably be more prudent than trying to keep up with inflation with any assessed values of real estate. This is just outside the Beltway. Real estate values up there have gone up substantially, even in an existing community. And if there's proffers there to do that, that's great, but opportunities occur to do these things. We should try to utilize that for the future. Thank you.
All right, Sam.
Thank you. Our next project is Route 208 in Louisa County. This project runs from 522 to approximately 2.8 miles east of there. The purpose is to improve spot improvements on 208 at two major intersections, Route 670 and 850. Currently, 208 has two 11-foot lanes with a 3-foot and variable shoulders. We're proposing to widen that to 12-foot lanes with 10-foot shoulders and 6 to 10-foot ditches. We had a public hearing in January. 47 people came. All were in favor of the project. Our estimated cost at this point is $9.7 million. We have a target estimated advertisement date of mid-04. Our recommendation is for approval of features as proposed at the hearing. One thing we're going to incorporate with that is to improve the cemetery entrance on parcel 08.
Okay. Any questions? All right, next one.
Our next project is the Route 28-625 interchange in Loudoun County. This project is at near Waxpool Road and Church Road, and also just south of the Washington and Old Dominion Trail. The length of the project is approximately a mile and a half. The purpose of the project is to review the location and major design features for the proposed interchange here and make improvements to Waxpool and Church Road. Our existing typical sections out there of the Route 28 main line is six lanes. 625 west of the main line is four lanes. East of that point is two. Our proposal is that on Route 28 that an additional lane will be added to both northbound and southbound lanes through the project limits to provide an eight-lane barrier-separated freeway with some realignment. On Route 625, we'll also be looking at widening that to six lanes from 607, which is the Loudoun County Parkway, to Route 628. And then the Route 625 bridge over Broad Run would also be widened by one lane to accommodate three westbound lanes. Our public hearing was in October. We had 114 citizens. Of those, we had 70 signatures on a petition as well. Approximately 105 people supported the project, some with modifications, 31 opposed. Our combined total estimate at this point in time for the entire job is $58.7 million. Our advertisement date at this point, currently targeted, is mid-2005.
Toby?
This is one of the projects under the PPTA proposal. And if that moves forward, this project would begin potentially this year to be completed in 2005. So that's one advantage. You also can see that there's over $18 million in right-of-way acquisitions. It's a big percentage of this, and that's why I brought up the point about right-of-way cost. The right-of-way cost of this from the concept years ago was substantially less, but values of real estate have gone up over a period of time. But a follow-up question, this has to go to location design. There's other interchanges coming up along this corridor, 606, Barnsville, Roseville, different. You've got other 10 interchanges to do over time. Does that have to come back to location design, to the CTB, every time there's something done under the PPTA process? Do they not have to go through that portion of the process?
No, we would have to do that on each of those.
So as this thing was engineered, 606 and Westfields Boulevard and McLaren Road, all of them have to come back for location design.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman,
could you pull this item out of the block and vote, please?
Okay. And then just our final recommendation on that, of course, was just to recommend the project as shown at the hearing. Our next projects, there are two together actually in Amherst and Nelson County, Route 827, which is Perkins Mill Road, and Route 666, Woodson Road. The purpose of both of these projects is to replace substandard bridges in each location and to make safety improvements as together with that. Our public hearing was in January. We had 19 folks there, all in favor with only one written comment. We have a proposed advertisement date of early 03. The combined cost of these two projects is approximately, our estimate at this point in time is $837,000. Our recommendation is for approval of the project as shown at the hearing.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
If I may, I just didn't get a chance to ask the question, and I thought I had found the answer to it, but the project just before that, Route 28-625 interchange, is, can you, there is a difference of the estimated cost in one spot, and so $63 million is the total for the project. And then right below that, as you outline the various, the PE, the right-of-way, and construction, only comes to $58.
I apologize. I made a mistake. The estimates are actually, you're correct, they're $63.6 million. The lower numbers are actually what's allocated currently in the plan.
What's allocated?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I see.
I apologize. But the $63.6 million is the actual estimated cost. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, Sonny?
Did I understand it correctly that this is a mile and a half, the project?
Which one, sir?
28.
I think so.
Yeah, mile and a half.
Right?
Actually, yeah, that's correct. Mm-hmm.
$58 million, not a mile and a half. No, $63 million.
Yes, sir.
Remember, $18 million of that is in right-of-way acquisition. You guys, that's the point. Plus, it's got a flyover. This is the largest interchange on the Route 20 corridor. This is what feeds AOL and some other businesses around this corridor. This is the largest interchange in that whole corridor. But please remember that $18 million of this is in right-of-way acquisition. So that's the point. Right-of-way is getting to be, over time, is getting to be a substantial part of construction costs. So and we need to deal with that sooner if we know something's going to happen.
Is the
and by the way, it does take a long time to acquire right-of-way too. Frankly, if you had right-of-way in place, in a lot of cases, in some cases it takes 18 months to acquire right-of-way. For example, the Gainesville interchange, if it ever goes to 29 at Gainesville, there's 18 months to 2 years for acquiring right-of-way there, which affects the start date of projects. So,
is this north of the proposed interchanges under the PPTA project?
This is part of the PPTA project.
Is this one of the six interchanges, or one of the 12 or 10? It's in that package?
There were 10 total interchanges in the package, of which under the EPA rules right now we can only use six. And this is the first of those. Well, let me take it back. The second. Barnesfield Road is the first. This interchange is the second.
Of the six
that we can go forward with.
Correct.
And the other four, plus the widening, cannot occur until after the region reaches an attainment, air quality attainment.
Right.
And that's Maryland, the District of Columbia, and Virginia.
You know, sir, Mr. Chairman, if I may, this just gives me a great opportunity to segue into what I've been screaming about on this board for the last 8.5 years that I've been on this. That is, when we do our planning for roads, and this right-of-way issue is something that I think that is paramount, because land, there ain't no more. And it's being taken up by businesses and homes and everything else, and it's becoming extremely costly. That's why I think that we've got to start thinking about other modes of transportation, and transit is so important, and to be thinking about in now, because you know, we buy this right away, it's going to become too costly for us to buy additional right-of-way, so we ought to be thinking about putting something like light rail down this roadway. So if we buy enough right-of-way now, then we can do that in years to come. So this is the kind of thing that we need to be doing some long-range thinking about, and that's what I've been preaching about ever since I've been on this board. So I just wanted to have my opportunity to preach it one more time about it, so that's all.
Well, Mr. White, I concur about a light rail system around 28. You know, the first piece, though, is to get the rail down to Dulles Airport, and this becomes a part of that overall connectivity. But I will say, during the planning process and the design process of these particular improvements, a consideration was given for a transit, so that we can adapt part of this to include transit. In fact, the comprehensive plans of both counties, and hopefully eventually in Prince William County, if it gets down to Manassas, I know that's of key importance to you, has to be done. And frankly, with rail, an overall comprehensive plan by the counties to support that kind of densities that support that will be important as well, so.
Greg, couldn't agree more. I just think that we ought to be, we got to continue to think about these things, maybe 10, 15, 20 years down the road. Now's the time to begin to think about it.
This is a point of reference. I believe that this project is substantially engineered right now.
Well, I'm not sure what stage it's at in terms of engineering.
I think for construction engineering.
Yes,
construction engineering is nearly complete on this. So frankly, if a PPTA proposal goes forward, this thing is ready to go as soon as right-of-way is acquired. Right-of-way and utility relocations will be first, but that would be done under the auspices of the PPTA proposal.
In as much as right-of-ways are kind of such a sensitive issue here today, maybe we need to have the staff look into purchasing some of these right-of-ways 10, 12 years in advance. I'm sure that economically the numbers will probably work out to our advantage. But I know this is a far-fetched thing at this point in time, but we can beat this right-of-way. So. Kenny?
That's a great idea. There's one small problem. It's called the NEPA process.
Yeah.
Since you cannot prejudge location. But anything that has to do with an environmental study, you just can't do that.
Does somebody enlighten me on how this fits in with the PPTA proposal under consideration?
This is just for location and design.
Location and design. That's but what if something were to happen to the PPTA proposal?
We would go forward.
Then we would. It would still be on this particular interchange. Okay.
But, Mr. Chairman, if the PPTA proposal does go forward, just remember that that would be date certain, fixed price. They assume the responsibilities of this project. If they run into some undercut problems or they run into some other issues, that's their problem. So that's an advantage. One advantage of that process. So once they, if that's done, they get the program money for that, and that's it. And it's your responsibility.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Yeah, Leo.
A lot of what Mr. White said. The 2020 plan for Northern Virginia has indicated that this corridor, Route 28 corridor, is a corridor that they would like to see light rail in the future. And we have done some preliminary studies of this corridor, and I think it is time for the board to consider doing some additional studies of the Route 28 corridor and to do an investment study or something for light rail going from Manassas all the way connecting to the Dulles Corridor project.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And maybe what can happen with Mr. White and myself and Mr. Devon and Kenny, if he wants to as well as his district, is to talk to the secretary about what the process could be to study this. We have to remember that the Air and Space Museum, which generates about four to six million visitors a year, will open next year, and that it will put a demand on not only the Dulles Toll Road corridor but also on the 28 corridor. So that if the Dulles Rail extends, that would be a natural type of evolution for that 28 corridor.
And in view of the PPTA proposal, that collaboration needs to come sooner than later.
Yes, sir.
Make any decisions that we can't reverse ourselves. All right, any other discussion on this location design? All right, any other, going back to the Amherst and Nelson Bridge, any questions on that one? That was the one that Sam was describing when we returned to Route 28. All right, then the next one, Sam, I believe, is Hungry Spring Road.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Next project is Hungry Spring Road in Henrico County. This runs from Broad Street, Road 250, to Staples Mill 33, also for about a mile and a half. Our project purpose here is to complete the ultimate design and construction to four lanes between Broad Street and Staples Mill. Segments of this highway are already at, have been constructed to four lanes, and but unfortunately, this causes traffic to transition back and forth from two to four lanes. So the purpose, again, here is for the whole corridor to go to four lanes. Our proposal would have four 12-foot lanes, a raised and flush median variable from 4 to 12 feet, along with four-foot sidewalks on both sides. We had a public hearing in February. There were 19 citizens at the hearing. The total estimated cost of this project at this time is about $7.5 million. We are partnering with Henrico County on the preliminary engineering right-of-way and construction of this project, and our recommendation is to approve this project as shown at the hearing.
Any questions on that one? All right.
And our last project is Route 736 Indian Run Road in Washington County. This job is about a mile and a quarter, running from intersection of Route 11 to 1.2 miles south of that point. Our purpose is to improve the existing widths and grades and drainage in order to improve safety and traffic flow. Currently, there are 2 9-foot lanes with little or no shoulder, and our project would widen that to just the shoulders to 2 foot and fill and 2 foot cut with a 3 foot ditch. We had a public hearing in January. 26 folks attended. We had 10 who expressed a were in favor of it, 1 opposed. Our advertisement at this point currently is targeted for mid-03, and our combined cost estimate is $1.7 million. Our recommendation is for approval of the project as shown at the hearing.
Okay, any questions on that one? Okay, I think we do all these in a block. And we will. That would be items 14A, beginning on page 5, B, C. We pulled out of the block D at the top of page 6, and then E, F, and G. You have a motion?
Seven.
On those.
Seven.
Been moved and seconded that we adopt the resolutions as presented on these location and design projects. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, do we have a motion on item D, the Route 28 Sully Road and
so
Route
moved.
625?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Kenny?
Mr. Chairman, I have to recuse myself on this item. I represent a client who has some interest in this interchange.
All right. I'll let the record reflect that Mr. Kling is recusing himself on this item. All in favor of adopting the resolution for item 14D? Please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And one abstention. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
Randy Campbell from Administrative Services Division on land sale.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we've got 5.24 acres of surplus property located on Commerce Street in Winchester, former site of our former VDOT area headquarters there. We vacated that site in April of 2000 when we moved to our new site off of Route 50 West. We currently have this property for sale, and we're seeking your approval to proceed with that conveyance.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded.
I wanted to ask a question about that, Mr. Chairman. When they sell a piece of property like that, does that money revert back to the district to pay for?
My understanding, Mr. Chairman, is that the money is considered revenue, and it comes back into our revenue accounts. Basically, it just goes back into the big pot. We've had other questions. Could we take it and use it to support our capital outlay program on other projects in the district? And basically been told we have to go back through the process again to get the money, so to speak.
Because I know we were trying to do one down in Rockbridge County, and we were. That's why I asked that.
Yeah. You mean for the construction of the new...
Or in buying the land.
Yeah.
And we kind of got in some problems.
Right.
One question is, can you take this money and put it in to help offset the cost of the new building you built?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would make some sense to be...
Well, that's really what you're saying, because
yeah.
That's where the Rockbridge site comes in.
I think it makes some sense. You know, you try to...
Well, doesn't it just
do that? But if you
doesn't it go in and come out of the same pot?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, does it?
Yeah.
What's the general accounting rules governing these issues in the state?
Well, it kind of makes the project, I mean, you look at the scheme of things, it gets caught in a big thing.
In most businesses, if you sell an asset, it's a sale of an asset, comes back into revenue, just what he said. I mean, that's...
I hear you, but you got $1 million project and you collect $500,000, the net cost of that project is $500,000. So it's one other way of looking at it too, rather than the big picture. It just makes, when you make a decision about a project, you may decide to do that, to move a project along, then not move it along, if you knew there was some deferred income coming in to offset that. But I see what you're saying.
We can get any more information on that you want, Libby. All right, been moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the land sale, Winchester? All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, man. Next item is from Department of Rail and Public Transportation, Kevin Page.
Good morning. Today, the DRPT has two rail industrial access items for consideration of the board. The first on the agenda is WHPT Company Incorporated. They're located within the city of Roanoke. This project application is to construct new and rehabilitate existing track to serve a Cargill Rock Salt Transload Storage and Distribution Facility Company, which is a rock salt distributor for VDOT and other political subdivisions of the Commonwealth for inclement weather. Under this project application, we had 350 carloads, creation of 25 jobs, capital investment of $400,000. WHPT asked for $60,000, rated 52 points. And I'll turn the floor over to Mr. White, Chairman of the RTHOV, for the consideration.
Mr. Chairman, we had a very extensive discussion on this project at the committee meeting this morning. One of the exceptions that we are asking the board to take a look at today, and well, let me say this much. The committee unanimously approved it. In fact, the company had asked for $250,000, I guess, and we agreed to do that, although the policy... Oh, I'm sorry. Well, this is the next one. Okay.
Sorry, I take responsibility. I got him a little hit.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Mr.
Kevin. Let me. yes, we approved this project that Kevin has just discussed, and I move that the project be approved.
Second.
All right, been moved and seconded to adopt the proposed industrial access railroad track in Roanoke.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Here's just check, make sure we're all still awake. Mead West Vaco is our next project, which Mr. White was alluding to just a second ago. Mead West Vaco, which has their largest whiteboard paper mill in the United States, located in Covington, Virginia, has changed their business environment. Mead West Vaco has now gone also into the chip mill business to assure that they have a continuous product flow to their plants. Under this project application, Mead West Vaco is developing a Pennsylvania County site, which will generate 750 carloads, five new jobs. They're investing $2.2 million in investment. Under the request, our staff recommendation was $175,000. Following discussion, which Mr. White will brief the board on, this resolution was changed and increased to $200,000. And I now turn the floor over to Mr. White, Chairman of RTH.
Okay, thank you, sir. And I apologize for my jumping ahead because I got so excited about this morning. this is an opportunity that we have got to, this board has to improve the employment picture in that area where the unemployment is extremely high. And Mr. Byrd has pleaded with us over the years about us making some efforts, this board making an effort to improve the employment picture throughout the Commonwealth, particularly in the area that he represents. And the board, the committee, gladly took advantage of this. However, we do recognize, and I want to be upfront with the board, we do recognize that committee did this morning, that this board has put a limit on how much the committee or the access, or, I mean, the rail department can provide in these circumstances, and the limit is $175,000. And the committee unanimously agreed this morning that we should raise that limit to $200,000 in this case, because it would considerably enhance the employment picture in that area and other opportunities as well. So we come to you, the board, this morning asking you to approve this. And the staff will come back to the committee next month with after having evaluated this policy, with a recommendation to the board to move and to remain with the policy or to increase it. So I think that we suggested to them this morning that we should find every way to increase that the limits that we've placed on it. So, but in the meantime, this is an opportunity for us to make a considerable impact in an area that is important to us. And I urge the board to approve this resolution. And if you may, Mr. Byrd, if you would like to, I would certainly hope that you would have something to say about this.
Mr. Secretary, if you could indulge the board.
Roy, let's get the motion on the floor first, okay? The motion would be to grant this proposal at $200,000 for the rail,
right,
for the rail access fund. All right, moved and seconded.
I would move that we
I'll
grant
second it.
Okay. All right, Roy's got the floor.
I brought up this morning, this particular mill was closed down last year, and West Vaco, in an effort to step up their production and their resource needs, bought this facility. Well, when this mill closed down, there were hundreds of logging operations that lost a market in coming in here. And, of course, West Vaco has purchased this mill and now has started it back up, which is going to allow this logging operation, all these loggers, to come back in and market their product. So to say that it's five jobs is a little deceiving, because it's going to put that logging industry back in there. The second thing that I asked the committee this morning about, altering our 175 cap, and in this case going to 200. Personally, you know, I would go up in more, but the point here is that this is 750 train car loads of chips that will be produced at this facility and will rail into Covington, Virginia. Now, what that saves us, or helps the city of Covington, is over 3,000 trucks don't go into Covington now. And if we go back in years, the issues we've had here in getting truck traffic out of Covington. And so for that purpose, I made a motion that we put $25,000 more, and in my opinion, for $25,000, if this board in the state can stop the flow of 3,000 trucks a year into Covington, it's a good deal.
Any other?
Yes, sir.
Any other discussion?
No further discussion.
Now, I learned all this from a former member of the General Assembly.
All right, been moved and seconded that this that we adopt the recommendation. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed.
Thank you.
Even though she's not here, I'm sure Mrs. Medford would thank the board for this action today.
We're now at the point on the other business. I'd like to see if, Ray, you want to pick up, why don't we insert here under new business the item that was deferred from yesterday's workshop. It's a non-action item, but one that we wanted to brief the board about. And then we'll... then we'll return to the agenda on item 17.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. We've been giving you an update each month on rebuilding the six-year program. We've now finished the pre-allocation meetings. We hope that we have established reasonable expectations in people's minds, although every one of the pre-allocation hearings, almost every speaker spent all the money we had everywhere. But it was an important process in terms of helping us prioritize.
Thank you.
And this presentation today now combines the actions, the revenue items, and the actions of the General Assembly, which were finalized yesterday, with the current advertising schedule. The first page is our cash forecast for the coming year, based on the projects that we have in the plan today, and the known revenue. The blue line is our estimated revenue. The red line is our estimated payments based on that advertising schedule. The yellow line is our net cash flow. That starts in July of this year, and it's for a one-year period. What it says is that at the rate we're going, we will be $300 million in the hole, in the red, in a year. So what we've got to do now in our program is pay off what we've got going, pay off the commitments that we've made to the various districts, reduce the program significantly, stretch it out significantly, so that we can put that number back in a positive cash flow. We have started through the individual program. We did a rough cut through the interstate yesterday, because we have to have interstate decisions completed before we know what happens to the other systems. And we have had to do everything from stopping projects that are currently underway in terms of design, eliminating a number of them that we know we won't be able to get to now during this six-year period, and dropped a significant number as well. The second chart is also one that we've got to be concerned with, because it shows debt, a debt issue. The blue line the colored lines, the blue, the red, the yellow, and whatever the last one is, I can't describe it.
Pews.
What?
Pews, honey.
Okay. Shows the systems, and the purple line shows debt service that we will have to pay on the FRANs that we have scheduled to issue. We know that we'll have to sell more, but this is based on the current plan. And you can see that in 2003, the first year, when the $100 million in insurance proceeds is deposited in the trust fund, we'll use that to pay debt service. The beginning in 2004, the purple line goes into the negative, and we will have to find that additional money out of the program, which means that the program will be impacted again by the amount of debt service that we have in the future. So there will be another significant reduction, and that debt service will be reimbursement of federal proceeds. The next chart is another one that has long-term consequences, and I think I promised the governor I wasn't going to have any more bad news, but I guess I'll have to wait until I leave to have the good news. This represents the impact of crossover. I'm sure that all of you are familiar with the term. When the demands on the Highway Maintenance and Operating Fund exceed the amount of revenue, We've reached the point where we have to take from our construction program to fund maintenance. And you see for the 6 years the amount of crossover, and that will not be fixed until there is a revenue increase in the Highway Maintenance and Operating Fund. So that is an indefinite problem. The impact that will have on the construction program is also shown on the next slide. And you can see that there is a considerable amount of impact when we run all these activities through the formula.
Question on the maintenance. Mm-hmm. Yesterday we had a presentation on the maintenance mm-hmm. inflation rate, and I'm trying to see how that compares with this.
This is based on that maintenance trend.
Because we had a negative 1.2%, and then it went up 2.5%. Is this based on a 4% average inflation
yes.
rate?
Right. Yes. The 4% average growth.
Is it possible that at least in 2003 that yellow won't be as bad because of what we saw yesterday? Or I'm trying to, in 2004, you know, I see 2004 is a little less, but I was wondering about 2003 because what we saw yesterday was like a negative 1.32%. And I think that's what I saw.
What you saw yesterday was an average growth or lack of growth in the maintenance expenditures. What you're seeing here is the difference between projected budget for maintenance and the revenue that comes into the Highway Maintenance and Operating Fund. That's crossover.
Got it.
Crossover was predicted originally to occur somewhere around 1992, and there had, through a number of actions, it's been avoided until this year, but it has now hit us very significantly.
And we are mandated to maintain before we do capital improvement.
Yes.
So we are.
Yes.
Sir.
And if you recall, the Highway Maintenance and Operating Fund is all of the revenues that were collected prior to the 1986 special session. The Transportation Trust Fund took all of the revenues after that date.
I'm sorry.
All right. Yes, sir.
Then, okay.
Mr. Patel, I'm at a loss here. Maybe I'm just kind of slow on this. Would you be kind enough to explain what we mean by crossover?
Crossover is the point at which our maintenance expenditures will exceed the amount of money that is in the maintenance account, the amount of revenue received in the maintenance account. That's crossover. What it means, what we're crossing over into, is we're now having to reduce the construction program and put that money back into maintenance.
And this is mandated by legislation?
It's mandated by law. Right. We must maintain, spend all reasonable necessary funds on
yeah.
maintenance.
The law doesn't say 4%. It just says, it uses the word, as I recall,
reasonableness.
And so, you know, the last year's plan, it flatlined it. Is that reasonable, or should we factor in 4%? Because I think we have to cross over anyway. If
we have
flatlined.
Crossover anyway.
But this does accelerate dipping into the construction fund.
We're about, I think the number, the cash number, John, is close to $100 million. What's the number?
That
shortfall?
That the last 4 years they have not done it.
$175 million. So even no matter what we did in growing that account, we would still be at crossover. We would still have to reduce our construction program.
Yes, sir, but you said that this occurred, you said it was scheduled to occur in 92?
We originally anticipated, during the special session of 1986, we were asked to project when that would occur, and we projected at that time that it was approximately 1992. But the department has taken a number of actions in the past to do work more efficiently. It hasn't grown as quickly as we anticipated. So crossover was stretched out in time until this year. But this year, we've gotten to the point where there's no more stretching. We just can't, we cannot do it anymore. Yes.
May I, Mr. Secretary?
Yeah.
Does that mean that we haven't put enough in maintenance or done enough maintenance on the, in the system for the last 4 to 8 years? Is that what you're saying?
No, not necessarily. I don't think we've put into maintenance all that, that we could have put in. I think we have done what was reasonable to this point, and I think what we're doing in the future is reasonable as well. We could spend a lot more money in maintenance, but I believe this is a reasonable budget.
So the
you cannot constrain the budget by the amount of money that's there. We would be $175 million short deferring maintenance, and we would defer $175 million or more every year, and eventually the roads would.
So the code
that.
Allows you to be that, be a little, the code allows you to be a little flexible, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
But we must be
prudent.
Prudent, reasonable, reasonable and necessary are the words.
All right, Eddie?
Maybe I'm not reading this correctly, and I appreciate y'all's help. Are you saying that we're going to be in a deficit all the way up to, on the crossover, all the way up to the year?
We're going to be in deficit in crossover until such time as additional revenue comes into the Highway Maintenance and Operating Fund.
But your projection,
there's no way that we can, there is no way to avoid it. So it could be, you know, if we don't, well, for example, if there's no tax increase of it, or no additional revenue, say there's not another penny in gas taxes. Actually, you'd need about 3 or 4 pennies to even cover this. We will continually have to draw from our construction program to pay for maintenance.
Well, that's the only way to implement a cure for the shortfall.
The only cure for this is additional revenue.
Well, or from the
well, or we could constrain our maintenance. Then we would be. We would not be meeting our obligation to protect the investment that we have in our systems.
Well, I think there's also a third route. You know, we're between interstate primaries, urban secondaries, all that. We're adding a lot of lane miles per year, so I think it just exasperates the problem as well. You're adding more lane miles as well, besides taking care of what you got. But I think the other thing that's got to be looked at is how, by keeping a level of service of the roads up, are there other techniques on how we maintain our roads and, frankly, utilizing the private industry to help come up with some ideas and solutions is another alternative to look at. I think researching what VMS did with their, if there's any advantages there, the department looks into that.
That report will be available in draft form sometime next week.
But I think those kind of concepts and ideas and looking around to see are there better ways that on a per lane mile basis we can maintain a level of service that we require, but look alternatives to achieve those.
We announced about 3 weeks ago a new program in the deployment of technology, and the basic item that we were starting with was pavements. And we have a number of actions that have developed as a result of research and development, including work done at the Virginia Transportation Research Council, work done at Virginia Tech, and work done on the Smart Road. We have developed at least 4 major ways to add life to the pavements. One is through using a process called SuperPave.
Right, and that's been going on for
several
years.
That's been going on for several years. There's also some work going on in bridges. One, in terms of improving our crack sealing techniques and technology, strengthening asphalt pavements with the use of this wire mesh. And
I knew under drains was another one, using UD2s and
under drains. Putting geosynthetic material under the under drains so that they work better. Now, if we employ and deploy all of those things, we will add life to the pavements. That will not necessarily reduce our need for maintenance costs because we've got 58,000 miles of road to maintain. So as we deploy those new technologies, we'll be adding life to that pavement. So we won't have to spend as much on those. And as we reconstruct roads, we can use some of those technologies. But we still have a tremendous system that we've got to maintain. Trillions of dollars. I'm not sure what its value is, but I'm sure it's in the trillions of dollars.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
I see that next chart is going to talk about the impact of the crossover on construction.
Right.
And I thought that's where we were headed, and I just find that to be unacceptable. We've got to just say that we got to pull money out of construction to put it in maintenance without exploring other means is just not acceptable. We've got to explore other means. That's a very simplistic way of looking at it, and so I just think that I just feel that we've got to be more innovative if this be the case. And the other thing that concerns me here is that I've been on this board for 8.5 years. If we had this problem in 92, I came on in 93, and I've never heard anything about this. I mean, I know we talked about maintenance, but if we had a problem this serious, then I think this board should have been advised about it.
Randy?
Just while we're on this, the maintenance discussion and the additional miles that are brought into the system each month, one of the things that's also been discussed over quite a few years is the fact that the localities control the quality of the subdivision roads. And we are going to have to find partnership with those localities to be certain that they require those subdivision roads to be built to our standards. One of the worst things that I saw in our district was a subdivision that was brought in a county that did not have that kind of local ordinance or whatever. And we virtually had to rebuild everything from about a foot inside the edge of the road all the way out, the shoulders, the ditches, nothing was built to standard. And this was in very rough terrain, and it was a very expensive project for us to have to do. And this was within probably 18 months or 2 years after they became our secondary roads. If we get good quality roads built to our standards when they come in the system, they don't impact the maintenance quite as quickly.
I think that's a very good point.
Chairman,
yes, Eddie.
I'd like to apologize for not making a workshop meeting yesterday. I probably wouldn't be asking all these questions today had I been there, and I'm sorry for delaying your meeting today. But one of my primary concerns is the cutbacks on the new construction, how it will be allocated across the state with regard to the maintenance program in each district. So if some of these districts, including mine as well, if we spend more money in maintenance, should we not take more money out of our construction allocation in that area? I mean, how will this be balanced? Has anybody determined any type of balance to this? Excuse me.
Most of what we do by statute. We have a statutory framework for just about everything that we do. We are in effect making that trade-off now. We are taking, or we will be reducing, the construction program by the amount necessary to get to that maintenance expenditure. That operates through the formula. So basically, the less money that we have, or the more demands we have in maintenance, it translates into the formula distribution through the various systems. On the federal level, almost all that money is for construction, safety-related things. So the impact on this is really at the state level. And you will see a very, very considerable difference in the program that we will bring to you next month. If you haven't been, if you haven't had an opportunity to make one of the pre-allocation meetings, I've also included system-wide commitments for primary and primary and urban systems. And we use this information at the pre-allocation meetings to indicate that we already have a lot going on that we've got to pay for. In a number of instances, you'll see zeros in the bottom line remaining allocation available because we have already over-committed to those districts. Now, the General Assembly did give us flexibility in the use of FRANS. We will have to make very, very careful decisions on what projects we apply those FRANS to in terms of total volume, and we'll also have to be cognizant of the debt implications on the systems. And at this point, there is not a lot of there's not much relief in sight in terms of help from the General Assembly. The General Assembly did give us $48.6 million over the biennium to pay for the debt service on the $317 million that they're substituting FRANS for general fund money. They also appropriated $100 million, which is now in 03, for 1 year. But we can't be guaranteed that every year. We will have to go back before the General Assembly probably every year and request general fund money for to help us with debt service. Whether we get it or not is another issue. Of course, the health of the general fund is not all that good either. So,
is that the insurance money?
That's the insurance proceeds, yeah.
So we would have to go back every year to request the $100 million. Or at some point, I guess, when we get to the next biennium, we could make that request for both years of the fund.
I'm not 100% certain of the language in the bill. There's some speculation that it would be appropriated unless the General Assembly actually takes it out. But that's not much of a guarantee for us because they've shown willingness and ease at taking the money out of the program. So
we have not
programmed it anyway. So we have to anticipate. We have to plan for the worst case, and the worst case is that we won't get additional revenue. I'm sorry.
Mr. Secretary, you started to say something to
us. I was going to just say that's right. I mean, it's going to be an annual right, which is very unfortunate because it's going to cramp any long-term planning in the six-year program. We're going to have to lobby just like we're some arts organization, which is a pretty sorry state. Carter?
Ray, take that Bristol page and just make sure that I have a good understanding.
All right, it takes the 6 years of the six-year program. At this point, we didn't know exactly how much allocation there would be to the districts. We did indicate that in our illustrative program before, but we didn't want to put out an illustrative number at this point because it might not have been accurate. Today, we can put out an actual number. But what we did was looked at all the commitments that we currently have underway. So in Bristol, on the primary system, the first item is district-wide items. This in effect is a block grant that we give to each of the district administrators, and it covers a whole host of things that they need to do on a spot basis and as needed basis. For example, if someone takes out a 100 feet of guardrail, they would take it from here. If somebody knocks over a traffic signal, they would take it from here. If a new signal has to be installed and it hasn't been programmed, they can take it out of here. And I do indicate, we indicate below the strengthening and widening bridges, beautification, congestion mitigation, air quality, safety, matching funds, guardrail, pavement markers, signs, signals, state traffic operations, a safety improvement program, and the use of technology. So, for example, if we have an intersection we want to monitor and we need a camera there, they would take it out of here. The second item is we need to set aside a certain amount of money to continue the preliminary engineering, the studies, the designs, all the things that go into getting a project ready to go to construction, including acquisition of right-of-way.
How'd you arrive at that? Is it a percentage?
It's a percentage. The percentage generally, the low would be somewhere around 5%, I believe, and the high would be somewhere around 15, and we took a 7% average for districts and said this would be the minimum that we would set aside.
Brian?
We may, in some districts, have to set aside more than that, but that would be the minimum.
Brian?
Question.
Yeah.
In particular, you know, I'll ask this question.
We're going to try to cure 288.
Well, no, in particular, though, if we're showing that we have no funds remaining for primary road for the next 8 years, why would we have to continue planning projects in the short term?
We have to be prepared with projects to spend federal dollars. We have FRANs available. And there's always, well, in Hampton Roads in Northern Virginia, for example, there are two major revenue initiatives. Should they pass, some of those projects will be, some of the work will be done on a lot of those projects, the Third Crossing, for example.
I was just talking about the Richmond District in particular. In the primary, on the primary page, if we're spending money to take projects forward.
Well, one of the things in each of these districts, such as Richmond, Lynchburg, and Salem especially, we're going to try to cure as much of those zeros as we can.
Good.
So there are also, these are formula-driven funds. There are other funds that aren't necessarily formula-driven.
I'll help you cure those zeros any way I can.
Okay. So that's a minimum set aside. The third line is these are projects that are actually completed. And if you recall, one of the techniques of getting more in the program is to stretch out your payment cycle. Typically, the rule of thumb is we have 70% of the dollars available for allocation before we go to advertisement, and we pay off the project in the year that is completed. Well, if we stretch it out for another year or 2 years, we pay it off 2 years or 3 years or 4 years after it's completed, we can get more projects in the program. And as you can see in Bristol, we've got $31 million worth of allocations that we have to make over the next 3 years to provide the bookkeeping credits necessary for projects that we've already built and already paid for. So that cash is out. This is catching up allocations. Then there are projects currently underway in Bristol, not much going on. And then the bottom line in the first year in Bristol is zero. And what that means is that we're using every dollar, every allocation dollar to pay for these other things that are already commitments in that district. In the Richmond district, there are zeros for all 6 years. Most of the urban system.
Let me go back. So in 04 in Bristol, there might be some money.
Yes.
Depending.
We're anticipating there will be some money in Bristol, some allocations
know.
In Bristol in 04.
But we don't know how much yet.
Not yet. Well, we will in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Your next board meeting, we will bring the preliminary program to you for approval, and that will have all the details of all of the all of the recommendations, including the review that we've had with the individual board members.
The zero could be there's still a shortage. There's obviously still a shortage that has to be carried over the next year that you're working on. I mean,
I'm not sure.
It could be minus. You don't put any minus.
Yes.
In,
yes.
Right?
Well, for example, best example is Richmond District. Even after 6 years, we still have a negative
right.
of about real close to $100 million. 90 some million dollars.
Okay.
That we would
Thank
carry over each year into each six-year program and presumably in Richmond for 12 years. Now, the advantage, if you want to call it an advantage, is that we do have the flexibility of using FRAN dollars. We will have to sell $317 million worth of Franz to make up for the sales tax, and that's in here. That's reflected in here. Then we will have up to $1.2 billion authorized that we can sell over the next, well, that's the amount that we can authorize total. And use those in some sequence over the next 6 years to, as I say, cure the problems that we have.
And that's not in here, is that correct?
That's not shown in here, no. But, again, if you look back at that second table with the purple blocks, that's unaccounted for debt service. So the more Franz we sell, the more we're going to have to ultimately get from the district systems, because we don't print money, and that's the only way we can get the funds to pay those debts, unless the General Assembly makes a new appropriation or continues the appropriation. Even if they continue the appropriation of the insurance proceeds at $100 million, we will have debt service far in excess of that, definitely next year, possibly this year.
Ray just made the point that I thought was important to make. I will tell you that it is my opinion that Franz are not the panacea that they were represented to be. All you're doing is robbing Peter to pay.
Yeah. In fact, the debt service is greater than the funds for secondary roads. And
right. Well, debt service would be $250 million on $1.2 billion. We're paying about $45 million in debt service this year. When we sell the $317 million, our debt service will be up somewhere around very close to $100 million.
Sonny?
Not a very popular thing to talk about at all anywhere, but it seems to me that people are beginning to realize that additional revenue, in my opinion, is the answer from some source, whether it's a nickel a gallon or whatever. But
it's called 20 cents on the gallon.
Seems to me that it has to be.
Eddie?
I'll give you my number in 2 weeks.
Okay. It'll probably be close to mine.
It probably will.
Maybe we need to go back to the General Assembly for users tax increase on gasoline.
Well, you know, the first thing we need to do, to the extent that we can do this as a board, is to work for the passage of those two referendum bills.
Right.
Now, that's not going to fix some of these problems, but that will inject enough cash to address some major transportation facilities in Hampton Roads and Northern Virginia.
Right. Yeah, that is our first order of business, is to get those referendums passed, and then try to fix these.
It'd be nice if we could do it.
Problems.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we could do it as a board. But you know, if that's not possible, we nevertheless ought to be thinking of ways that we can help push that effort along. Yeah.
I have to defend Fran for a second.
Pretty hard to do.
Well, I don't know about that. We talk about project cost increases going up in the double-digit figures every year. We're paying 5% or
less
around there. Probably. On the Franz.
Yeah. But
the cost of these projects are going up exponentially, and we're only paying 5% on this money. When we talk about the debt service, these are 10-year instruments. The debt service isn't just interest. The debt service is the repayment of principal. Right. So if we're repaying our principal, and our cost of funds is only 5% for money that we can use today to build projects, when tomorrow these projects are going to cost 145% of what they cost today, I have to defend Frank. So
I would agree.
Yeah,
it's certainly a good point, Ms. Kornblau. And that's exactly the way Franz ought to be used, in my judgment, is on projects, not on a program. You know, I don't see, you know, it's not good policy to plan a long-term construction program on the basis of debt unless you have a revenue stream that guarantees that debt. We have a revenue stream that guarantees Franz, but it's a revenue stream that is capped, and it's reducing.
And to follow that up, revenue forecasts. We have adopted an official revenue forecast that this year was based on some terrible events. The economy went in the tank.
Yeah.
We had September 11th hit us. I can't help but think that the economy is going to improve, revenue projections are going to improve, and we're not quite in as bad a shape as we think.
Yes.
And maybe and usually I'm not an optimist. Usually it's just the other way around. But
well, nothing would please me more than to see revenue go up.
And I think it will. And that's just, you know, we're talking about tax increases. We're talking about painting a terrible picture here. And I just want to make sure that everyone knows that's just not where I think we're headed. I think our future is a little bit brighter than what we showed here.
Right on, sir. And I thank you, sir. I think that's what I've been saying all along, and that's why this thing struck me so severely when I see this very morbid picture painted here on the maintenance program. When we presented this to us yesterday, I saw that we had been making substantial increases in our maintenance program over the years for the last 9 years, and now we're saying that we haven't done enough. Well, somebody should have said that a long time ago, that we haven't done enough. What is enough? You know, I mean, if we put in another 10%, it would have been, we should have put in 15%. But you know, you can't, you know, we sit back in hindsight and we criticize ourselves for not having done enough. Well, I don't think that's fair. I just don't think that's fair. And I see that when I look at this chart, I see that we've made substantial improvement in our maintenance expenditures over the last 8 years.
Almost double.
Almost double. And yet we're saying that we didn't do enough. I mean, what is enough? You know? But now we're saying that, hey, if we don't do something, this thing is going to impact our roads and I mean our construction program in the next 6 years. And that's what irks me. It really, really is.
Mr. White, nothing in here is intended to criticize the amount that we'll spend on maintenance. What happens on the formula is the revenue that comes in into the HMO, the Highway Maintenance and Operating Fund, goes toward maintenance first. In the past, what's happened is that there has been more revenue in the maintenance fund than maintenance needs. So what was not spent in maintenance fell down into the construction program. That was a function of the formula. It was always intended to be that way. But the General Assembly said, in the event we get to this point, which we call crossover, we will reduce the amount of construction money we will take from the Transportation Trust Fund and put those funds back into maintenance. And that's where we are today. The increases in maintenance in the past have been appropriate. And it's appropriate that we increase our maintenance expenditures in the future. But the fact is that we have gotten to the point now where maintenance, the demands to maintain the system are greater than the revenue that goes into the Highway Maintenance and Operating Fund. So we have to now cross over into the construction funds and draw those funds, some of those funds back up. What I'm showing here is that we've finally reached that point. So we're not adding, we can't say that the trust fund is there and we can spend all that money for construction, because we can't. And we don't have excess money from the Highway Maintenance and Operating Fund to put into construction.
But the money that will go into Highway Maintenance Operating Fund is what I hear you saying then is that it will never be any excess drop into construction.
Not anymore unless, the only way there could be any excess is if we cut our spending on maintenance, which frankly would be irresponsible.
But what I heard you say was that we're going to have to now cross over and pull money out of construction and put it back into maintenance.
That's exactly right.
But then on the other hand, you said money that goes into Highway Maintenance Fund will not based on, will not be any excess. So we're not really pulling anything. It's a matter of how we express it, but the wordage is what I
Well, this was set up, this is a structural issue. The legislation, when it was set up these two different funds, Highway Maintenance and Operating Fund,
right.
Transportation Trust Fund.
Right.
This one was for maintenance and operation. This one was for construction.
Okay.
I had $100 in this one, and I only needed to spend $80, so I had $20 I could put over into construction. Today, I've got $100, but I need to spend $120. So I got to take $20 out of here and put it over here.
Well, that's where I have a problem. You see, then we should never.
But that's what the code says.
Yeah,
that's General Assembly. The code has said that. And
right. Carter?
Well, in the Culpeper District, I haven't had many maintenance problems or complaints that I know of. I don't have the logging that DeRoy has down in his area and a lot of the trucks. But every time I drive across the Roosevelt Bridge into Washington, I appreciate the maintenance in Virginia. I got to tell you, I don't believe in taxes, and I hate them like with passion. But I was quite surprised to get our Chevrolet store got a letter to our general manager and partner with me there from the Republican Party. It's National Taxpayers Union. And it incensed me that they would come out as strongly as they did trying to not get the General Assembly to pass the governor's amendment to the bill for the sales tax. But I'm sure the same group, if they get the contributions they're requesting, it will go to fight the referendum in Northern Virginia and maybe in Hampton. And I think it'd be a real mistake. I think it should be, which really should be funded, our roads should be funded with a user fee, whether it be tolls or gas tax. But the best we can get right now is a sales tax in a couple areas. And with the situation we've got in those two areas, I think it's a real shame the Republican Party's going to spend their money. And they wouldn't get a dime of contribution from me on this particular issue.
Get out. All right. Hovey?
The reality here is our maintenance costs are not going to go down unless we find alternatives to maintenance solutions. And I think where we're talking about, we have to find this funding. We know, I think we've seen a presentation that under the current process that we're going under, this is what's going to happen. I think you're telling us today, here's a problem.
Right.
You're going to lose construction money unless we do two things. We find more revenue under maintenance, or we find alternatives to reduce our cost, or at least flatline our cost on maintenance. And I frankly think we ought to approach it from how can we find ways to, through industry concepts, and maybe look at other United States or even Europe. You know, Europe and other places got the same problem we do. And we're legislated by the General Assembly. And at the end of the day, we said, okay, we've done our job. We've done our best to try to figure out a way to at least flatline our maintenance costs through alternative means. But the reality is here, we need more money. We flatline it as much as possible and go back to the General Assembly and say, this is what the results are and report that. Hearing it today, I suspect after our job is to look at alternatives and then report to the General Assembly and say, here's a reality of what we got here, ladies and gentlemen. And if we got to do something.
Even flatlining and maintenance, we're still in crossover.
I understand, but at least maybe the crossover isn't as bad. You know, and then of course to cover the crossover, you got to find other funding sources. Maybe that's where the General Assembly have to come up with some ideas.
Well, the consequence, though, in government, in this business, is that we have to spend those dollars some way, or we can give some back and not spend them. But when we're appropriated those dollars, what we don't use for maintenance, we do use for construction. So that exacerbates. Mm-hmm. Because we're enlarging our system at the same time that we are reducing our maintenance effort.
If we could
hold that aside, if we could take that money and hold it off to the side and say we're going to use it when we think we need to use it, then we would have two guaranteed trust funds. But it doesn't operate that way.
I'm really glad we spent a lot of focus on maintenance costs because it is we sort of understand it now, but we also understand it has an impact on our construction budget and what our capital improvement programs are. It affects what our six-year plan is. Not only is it going to, is our revenue less for capital improvements, maintenance is affecting that as well. So at least I'm glad it comes up there so we can all be thinking about it.
Let me ask Ray to clarify something in response to a comment made earlier by Brian, just to make sure I understand it. The six-year projections that you show here are based upon, are they not, the revenue forecast for the Commonwealth that are prepared by DMV. They don't use, it's not a snapshot of today. It's an outward projection, and do you happen to know what the revenue predictions of the revenue increases are?
Sure.
We know that. Over the next 6 years? I mean,
Well, they're in here.
Is it?
They are shown in here. The revenue, the program is based on the official forecast for the next 6 years. So every year we're anticipating revenue. Now, what Mr. Kornblau is saying is that he anticipates a more optimistic recovery of the economy. If that occurs, that's great. What happens, by the way, if we get excess revenue above and beyond our projections, it goes into the priority transportation fund, which we would use to pay debt service. Exactly.
All right, Brian, and then Libby.
One question about maintenance. Evidently, we don't get, and I shouldn't say this, but it is April. Evidently, we haven't really had any significant snowfall in the last several years.
Right.
How are we forecasting snowfall? Are we taking an optimistic view? Or are we still forecasting the same amount of snow removal we did 3, 4, 5 years ago?
We anticipate a certain amount of expenditures for snow each year. If we get more, we spend more. If we get less, we spend less.
And this year we've spent?
Well, we've spent less, but a lot of our maintenance expenditures for things like snow are fixed costs anyway. Sand, salt, hired equipment, standby charges, those types of things. So a good portion of the snow removal costs we incur every year anyway. Now we may have a better supply. We may not have to buy as much salt, but we still have to buy some because even though we didn't have a whole lot of snow, we had freezing weather. We had a lot of icy roads. We had to go out and sand them. So snow isn't the only issue. As a matter of fact, in our area, rain in the winter is a bad issue because it turns to ice.
I just heard a relatively large number being thrown around as savings this year in the tens of millions of dollars, and I didn't know whether that was true or not.
I don't know if we have maintenance. I don't see anybody here for maintenance. What did we save tens of millions of dollars in maintenance?
No. I would say our expenditures this year in snow were less, but I would remember for about the Richmond area is not representative of what we faced across the Commonwealth. Mr. Martin's area certainly has expenditures that occur more frequently than the Richmond area. And so you can't judge based on what we had in Richmond. But the dollars that are saved from snow removal are fed back into the program, assuming that there are opportunities to do that. We are required to save money in terms of the year to year with that budget.
You have any idea what we spent less in?
I can't quote.
I wouldn't think it would be tens of millions. What's our typical snow budget is somewhere around
50 million.
40, 50 million, somewhere like that.
But we have those numbers we have readily available, and unfortunately, the people that know those aren't in the room today.
Yeah.
We have people that can quote those.
See, if we get a prediction of snow, we get our forces out there.
I understand.
So. All right.
We can answer that if you. We can
one follow.
Another,
yeah. One follow. For this fiscal year,
thanks.
As of the end of I believe it was March, and these are from our finance committee meeting notes. We had 25% of the fiscal year remaining of the highway or our maintenance budget, and we had 29% of the budgeted amount remaining, so we're 4% ahead. Was that through some measure of cost constraining or
did constrain maintenance this year because of our cash flow, and I can't tell you exactly.
Yes, there's somebody can tell you exactly.
Back in August, when we had to do the crossover, the loan to the maintenance fund, we sat down, Andy and ourselves all sat down with maintenance, and we established a target, spending target, because we have a cash issue. And that plan that you see is getting us to that spending target, which is $827 million, which is a little less than that budget amount. So they're on track to get down to the 827 for the year to, in order to facilitate, help our cash flow situation.
So I'm not sure.
That answers my question, because the point I wanted to make is that I, like Carter, have not had any, not the first complaint that I can remember for this whole year about the level of maintenance of our roads. Now, I do understand that when you do not spend enough money on maintenance that you don't see the result right away and that it can happen over time. But I just wanted to make that point.
And I'd say you don't want to start getting complaints about maintenance, because if you do, it was too, we're too late.
That's right.
Libby?
I was wondering, Mr. Secretary, as if we as a board maybe could go before the General Assembly Committee sometime, you know, this year, and tell them it's irresponsible of them not to give us enough money to do roads for their constituencies. The Interstate 81 is a typical example. It's the hottest issue in my area, maybe other than 37 every now and then, but I mean, ever since I've been on this board, Interstate 81 is just getting worse and worse and worse. And I don't know whether they would listen to all of us as a board or not. They certainly obviously don't listen to anybody else.
Randy, do you want to say?
That was a good one, wasn't it?
I have a question on this.
Yes.
Looking at Northern Virginia.
Yes.
I was surprised, quite honestly, because are there discretionary funds reflected in here? Is that why they have some dollar signs when there really have been some pretty significant cost overruns up there?
Well, you're not seeing the interstate, which okay. What's getting all the attention. What you're seeing here is primary
right.
and urban.
You're right.
We are spending mega bucks in the Northern Virginia area on many projects, but the two mega projects are the Woodrow Wilson Bridge, where we have a commitment that we've got to match, and we've got to match the federal funds coming in, and the Springfield Interchange, where again we have to match the federal funds.
So the availability of discretionary funds in somewhere other than those two projects would certainly aid the picture.
This picture.
Hobie?
Just a follow-up of Libby. You know, before you start going asking for some more money that General Sim, I still believe you need to go through the exercise, because somebody's going to ask this question about what are the alternatives you thought of to try to help that, new ideas, new concepts. And I really think we ought to look at that sooner rather than later. And if you want to have one of the committees, existing committees, take that discussion, but I think we need to look that route. You know, we've talked about it. You got a study coming out pretty soon on what happened with the interstates, and maybe there's some feedback and results of that we can look at how we can change our business practices on how we maintain things, but maintain a level of service. And then when you approach that and you've exhausted that, and you still have a problem, which we would anyway, even if we flatline this, we need to talk to them. This is a funding source. We're taking money out of our capital programs to maintain roads. That's the way it is right now in Virginia, and talk to the General Assembly members about it. I think they got to be aware of it just like we are now.
Right, Eddie?
Well, all right. I know that our staff does a great job at the General Assembly, because I've been there with them and watched them operate. They do a fine job, and I'm very proud of them. But I do believe, however, that if you would appoint a committee, a small committee, and not a great number of folks that serve on the board, to go to the General Assembly, not just on one occasion, but to frequent the General Assembly during the session in behalf of our problems. I think that we may help to support some of the results that may be positive coming out there, that particularly the request made by the staff, and I think we can look for some help and support.
Eddie, that may be a good thing to do. apropos to that, Philip and I have talked about, say, after Labor Day, when he's been on the job long enough to get acclimated and get a feel and feel comfortable with some of the things we're hearing, that is part of the process of his meeting legislators, that he can give his assessment. And that would be, that could be a very good entree into some of these other issues. Some of the issues don't deal necessarily with money. Some of the issues deal with building up the core competencies within VDOT. And we've got these employment level caps. And, you know, that doesn't make any sense. If we're going to try to do less consulting work, get maybe to a ratio less than the 70-30, you know, we've got to have the authorization to do that. So I think it could be a combination of these things, and it may well lead to a delegation of the board members to help that, get that message across. It may be more important, in my experience, to do that not so much when the General Assembly is in session as to do it before. You know, when you can actually sit down with the legislators in your own area and try to educate them. I mean, you know, their attention span might be better.
I think you're right there.
Roy?
It's an interesting discussion. Heard Mr. White say, and I guess I saw the same thing, about the maintenance has doubled in 9 years, 10 years. When I left the Board of Supervisors of Pennsylvania County, the budget was $70 million a year, and this year it's $144 million, so it's doubled in 10 years, and I wouldn't say that has made it any better down there. When I look at the money, when I look, and it's just a comment that come out of finance yesterday, when I look at VDOT over the last 8.5-9 years, and I see the trust funds, money there, it's taken. When I see our access road fund monies, they've got surpluses in it, and then I see the General Assembly take them for whatever reasons and these type things. And even in this year, the crisis that we were supposed to be in, when I see the bills going through the General Assembly with the impacts that should they have passed would have had on the agency, it makes me think they weren't paying attention to problems that the agency is having. So I'm glad to hear all the discussion we have, but somehow or another, as which says, we have to establish a degree of confidence with them. I personally think they have to establish one with us too, because in the 9 years I've been here, I've seen them come raid some of these cash accounts for projects that they've got, and that's not what the purpose of these trust funds are. I mean, it's no different than my IRA at home. You don't do those things. And if I go back 2 or 3 years, I don't know what the numbers are now. I haven't seen them in a while. The trust fund was $600-800 million. What is it today? It's not there. You know, we've seen a draining of these funds, and
Mr. Chairman.
All right, Nick.
I just, Mr. Bird, are you finished, Mr. Bird? I didn't mean to interrupt.
Right here, I'm finished.
Okay,
I was finished for a start.
I just want to pick up on what Mr. Bird. I just want to pick up on what Mr. Bird has said, but. And I echo those comments, but I think that Mr. Patel's, and I don't know whether you're finished or not, sir, but I think that I think I've got the gist of what you're presenting here. What I see is we're being presented. This board is being presented with a picture of where we are, but I think the next step, Mr. Chairman, is that I would expect the staff now to come back with some recommendations as to how we can cure this. And I haven't heard that. I don't think Mr. Patel is in a position
next
to do
month.
That. at this time.
At next month's board meeting, we will show you the cure.
Okay. But I hope it's not draconian and that you're going to cut construction. I hope that's not what I'm going to hear.
It will reflect these facts.
It's going to be the Rolaids presentation.
You're going to Rolaids presentation.
We have been going out around the state lowering public expectations.
Okay. Lowering expectations.
I've been communicating with you monthly to lower your expectations.
Well, I kind of thought that's where you were headed, but I...
Okay. Ray, you got anything else on your report? I know you were...
No, I have committed to Philip that I will stay for two more weeks and try to close up as much of this six-year program as possible. I also plan on attending the final hearings. I've been invited again by the commissioner to do that. So I promised the governor that we would rebuild the six-year program, and I do want to honor my commitment. But this is probably the last time that I'll be before this board, and at least in this kind of capacity, and I want to thank all of you for your support and your assistance. This has probably been the most challenging and perhaps the hardest 4 months of my life, but I really have enjoyed every minute of it. And a lot of that enjoyment is working with a fine board of transportation board. I appreciate that. Just wanted to say that.
Ray, thank you. Ray, Philip wants to. You assume the podium again for just a minute. Philip wants to.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I wanted to stand up here just for a moment and tell you that I've sat here fairly silent, at least most of today, and been taking in all of this information. First thing I want to do is to assure you that while Ray is indeed coming back to continue to finish this process, I've pledged to you that I will be fully and heavily involved into these issues. Ray has taken the brunt of a lot of hard duty, and I am not going to step aside and let the bricks and mortar fall down on his head alone. But more importantly than that, what I wanted to tell you and what I wanted to tell Ray is I met Ray Pethel 10 days ago. I met Ray Pethel the morning that the governor announced my crossing the finish line first in the contest for a commissioner. And in those last 10 days, I cannot begin to express from a personal point of view my gratitude to you in terms of just nothing but pure friendship. If this can somehow be a model of how to transition important government leadership, Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever, I hope somewhere eyes bigger than ours are watching this as a way to do business.
And, thank you very much.
It's a heck of a testament to you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, John.
Do you, item 17?
Yeah, we're going to come back to that. Yeah. I won't belabor these accolades, but you can imagine if you just multiply those 10 days that Philip alluded to the 3 or 4 months that Ray and I have worked together, I couldn't say it any better. Just multiply it times 3 or 4 months. It's just been a tremendous help. Returning to the agenda, we've got two commending resolutions, one for William W. Prettyman and the other for Benjamin R. Humphreys, Jr., members on the recent former members of the CTB, and I know that we would like to, they're set forth there in the book that Catherine has gotten for each of us, and rather than read both of them, I would like to not only ask for a motion and a second approval, but also make sure that this is appropriately communicated.
to those two gentlemen.
So moved.
All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, next, we've got another bit of sad news in that Carter Myers, who's been on this board as long as I can remember, is stepping down. I remember, Carter, I think when you first came on the board, one of the meetings was in my legislative district, and I remember that night with you. I think the job you have performed as a member of the Commonwealth Transportation Board has been truly exemplary, a real role model for how any member of the CTB ought to conduct himself or herself. And I will miss seeing you. I've enjoyed seeing you more frequently than in the recent past, and I know that your colleagues here who have been serving with you longer than I are going to deeply miss you also. We hope that we wish you well in your responsibility head of the National Automobile Dealers Association. It reflects well not only in you and your dealership, but on the state. And we're very proud of you, and we wish you well, and we would benefit from your parting remarks.
Thank you. Carter? Thank you, Whit. And let me do one last piece of business before I give my parting remarks. And this is important. For 33 years in Charlottesville, we've been trying to get the Meadow Creek Parkway approved. And I think we're close to having a vote in the city in early May. And I've been working, Mohammed's been working with me to get the plans completed and have them in their hands. We've been working with Rick Walton's office and the Attorney General's office on the right-of-way aspect of the road. And the one thing that I need y'all support on, and I hope to work with this before I do leave the board on the 30th of this month, is to make sure we've got a budget in place for the basic road and some preliminary engineering money for a potential interchange at McIntyre. I just want you to remember that, and that I think there's not a problem with funding in the city. There'd be a problem to build the interchange now, but at least we need in the feasibility study, we need enough money so they can at least conceptually see whether an interchange will or will not work. My gut feeling is when they see how it might impact it, they might not want it. They're two separate, the projects are separate in the book. That was important that they didn't hang one contingency on another one. But that's one piece of business that I hope that in the May meeting that we'll have an approval from the city on that point. It's a tentative vote, I will tell you. I hope that we'll see that move forward sometime in the next couple years. I just want to make a couple comments. I won't go to the microphone because the last time I went to the microphone, I gave a speech and I got the worst article written in the Roanoke Times that I've ever seen in my life. So I'll stay in my seat. It is a regret to be leaving the board on April 30th. I'm going to be working, I guess, through this month, and maybe we'll have one meeting looking at the budget. The time that I have to spend in the coming months with the National Dealer Association and the travel schedule would not permit me to do my duties for the next 2 months. And I've communicated with the secretary and the governor that it would be wise to move forward with an appointment. And I certainly hope he makes a good appointment, and I think he will. But I want to express my thanks, and lots of people are not in the room, and I don't want to name any names because the VDOT folks have been wonderful, and they're just too many to name, and it wouldn't be fair. But I have seen the work, the dedication, and commitment and loyalty of those public servants to the citizens of the Commonwealth. I think it's been outstanding, and it's been a pleasure and a privilege to have worked with them. I'd also say Leo Bevon's office and the staff that you have working on the transit issues and the rail issues and have been excellent. And also, I will name some names in the secretary's office. Kathy Giodotti's not there anymore. Sandy and Catherine have been a pleasure to work with and coordinated our meetings very well. I think back on a few of our CTB members. And look back over eight years, and I remember we started off with two automobile dealers on this board, and quite frankly, that's one too many. I think there ought to be one. But to have the audience have to put up with two car dealers sitting across from each other, that was Tom Barton, and he left the board fairly early to go to the dealer board. And they were kind of fun days. We had a guy named Jim Rich that some of you might remember that left the board, and Jim was always concerned about the little people and making sure they were taken care of, and I never knew exactly who he was talking about. But he did leave one thing, to make sure that every time we built a bridge, that we have open parapets. And a new commissioner, remember that. We want to be able to see through the bridge to see the beauty of Virginia when we cross these beautiful streams and rivers. But that was Jim's legacy. We've had some other interesting people. We've lost some, sadly. I mean, Max Porter left the board because of a health situation with his wife, and he was a great member and led the Grounds and Access Committee before John. We've had some leave. Kind of strange stories, and we won't talk about those. We had one leave that couldn't attend the meeting because he couldn't get, that we didn't qualify for work release. We had one member leave that came back. We've had some great meetings. I think on Abington, we met down in Abington a couple times, but one time we had a delightful meeting, and Sonny was a great host, and we went to the spouses went to the Barter Theater, and we stayed at a great hotel down there, wonderful town. I went out one evening to run, and I got on this trail, and I ran 6 or 7 miles out, and I said, how far does this thing go? It's old railroad trestle, the beautiful, most beautiful run I've ever been in my life. And I got back that night and had dinner with Joe Ray, which was one of the early members on this board before Sonny. And I said, how far does that thing go? I kept looking for the end. He said, well, it goes 40 miles to North Carolina. I don't think you'd have made that one. But that was a delightful meeting and a wonderful place to visit. We had some other interesting meetings. We went to... We had a controversial vote in some part of the state, southeastern part of the state. I believe it was I-73. So the meeting was carefully scheduled on the eastern shore.
That's not true.
Well, it might have been another project. I'm not sure what.
That's an assumption.
But that was rather interesting. I've been through four commissioners. I mean, I started with Ray and I ended with Ray, and that's rather interesting. And when we held our pre-allocation hearing in Culpeper yesterday, I told Ray after it was over with, I said, Ray, this reminds me of a soap opera. You can miss for months. If you watch the last one, you can come back, the same characters with the same story were at the meeting. It hadn't changed a bit. The same file, I could pick the file up from 9 years ago and read the same comments. So Ray started out with me and ended with me. And we've had two commissioners in between, and I'll comment a second on that. I've had three secretaries, three governors, and three chief engineers, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a fun ride, and so my fellow members and we've got some great people who served on this board and great contributions, and y'all keep up the good work. I do think we've talked a lot about the challenges ahead. Oh, there's one thing I mentioned. We've only had one lawyer, though. I will say that. And somebody that didn't speak today, I was sort of hoping at my last meeting that Archie Ellis would come up and give one more comment. And he didn't even come to the meeting today. Interesting. Challenges ahead, I think... We're very fortunate. I think our new secretary, not only does he have the transportation knowledge, but the understanding of the General Assembly, which is a challenge in itself, and I think he can certainly bring that to us. And our new commissioner, the little bit of time that I've heard him speak in the last 2 days, I'm impressed, and I think he will contribute greatly, and I love him bringing the private sector and public sector experience to the table. And I think that'll be a benefit to us. And I think new board members, the new ones that are on the board now and the new ones coming, will bring fresh thoughts, and we need fresh thoughts now. I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic about the economy. I think the economy will get better. I think the PPTAs and the toll, somewhere or another, we got to change the attitude in Virginia about tolls. I grew up in Petersburg. If we hadn't had tolls, we wouldn't have had the Petersburg-Richmond Turnpike built in 1958. and we built lots of Chesterfield roads with those tolls that we paid. But some way or another, attitude towards user fees has got to change. Gasoline taxes, PPTAs. I think a lot of wonderful things will happen. I think we should be optimistic and keep looking for solutions. And I think we'll find them. And, you know, if you think back, the entrepreneurial spirit of the American people and the citizens of Virginia will be unbelievable. I mean, if you just look back at what happened in New York, what came out of that tragedy. And ours certainly doesn't compare to what they faced, but you see what the American people, how they responded. So I think we'll solve the problems, Ray. I told Ray, I said, I after his presentation at CalPAPA the other day, I stood up and I said, well, Ray, after that presentation, which wasn't very exciting, I'm not going to invite you to come to one of my sales meetings in the morning. He said, I can be more optimistic. But I'm going to miss mostly the people that I've worked with. I miss the involvement, but I will pledge to you my continued support and to help any way that I can in the future, and I wish everybody the best here. It's been a fun ride. Thank you.
Okay. Do we have any other new business? Hovey? You
know, Carter, I couldn't help it. I had to raise my hand one more time before you left. But I did have one other comment. I have enjoyed working with you as well. I think on a lot of things we think a lot alike, and I'll try to carry some of your ideas forward as long as I'm here on the board. But one thing I did want to comment about, yesterday the General Assembly passed a resolution, and I believe the governor will, on the governor's initiative, to let the voters decide about a referendum both for the Hampton Roads and the Norman Virginia area. And I will tell you that personally I plan on going out to the general public and educating them about what these mean, what these improvements mean. In light of all the things we heard today about where revenue is coming from here, or different sources of revenue for various parts of the state that absolutely need to have these type of capital improvements done. And in the Northern Virginia area alone, there's about $1.2 billion worth of transit improvements. That will help air quality issues that are a problem in Northern Virginia, will be in other problems around the state. But I plan on educating people about what this really means to them to make sure that they get the right answers and their questions will be properly, and therefore they can make their own judgment about the worth of these type of projects and what it really means to them. There will be a lot of misinformation and there will be a lot of opposition to this for a variety of reasons, tax issues, environmental issues. The bottom line is the quality of life of these kind of things will be improved. And I plan on advocating this and educating people. I may even learn something on the way as well. But I think these initiatives must move forward, especially in the light of what we have seen here today. There's many issues that got to be dealt with in the department. And the way we are a business. And I think the new commissioner is bringing that approach to this too. And I think we all work together and we can transform some of the things that we have ideas about that already been brought up. Now it's time to prioritize it and implement some of these things. And find sources of capital like we see here today that was endorsed by the General Assembly now and the governor, and get it to the voters. But it's the voters' choice, and I hope that they choose to move these things forward. That's it.
Okay. Any other comments? Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I just want to follow up and thank my friend, Mr. Myers, for all of his service and to this board and to the Commonwealth. I think he has performed outstandingly well. When I first met him, I was a little dubious about him, but I came to know him. You know, I'm always dubious about a car dealer.
Car salesman,
let me say that. But I...
He bought four from me, by the way.
That's what happens when you get to know someone who brings to the table a great deal of high sense of value, moral values, high standards of performance, and I have come to respect that, and I've respected that all my life. And one thing I found out about him was that he's a very hard worker, and that's the way you get ahead in this world, is by working hard and doing the right thing. And I have, as a result of that, I've gravitated toward him. I bought two automobiles from him, and my family has bought another, and friends have bought another two. So, but I wouldn't have, I didn't do that lightly. I did it because I held him in high regards, and I think that he's a man of great character, and commands a great deal of respect. And I wish you all the success in the world, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Burke.
Yes, Roy.
With just a couple comments. I think the world of all of the board members, but in 9 years, I would have to say that I probably communicated more with Carter and Rendy as much as anybody, and specifically with Carter because of the 29 Carter. He and I are very concerned about U.S. 29, and of course, we watch the developments over it real close. But in communicating with him, I'd call him. He said, "Well, I'm in Las Vegas, I'm in L.A., I'm in Dallas or Houston or Atlanta or, you know, or somewhere like that. What are you doing?" He said, "Trying to sell a car, you know." So I'm like Zerk. I bought two from him. And so I've come to realize he's the only guy on this board making any money. That's all. And then the rest of us are getting 50 lives of bucks a day, and he's selling cars.
I guess as the last board member that where the four of us came on at the same time, the remaining one, I have to make the final comment, and that would be that I too have enjoyed a wonderful working relationship with Carter, but I will sure miss my UVA comrade when it comes to the football game next fall.
Well, you got the secretary to take my place.
Okay. Any other comments? That's a very nice finish. Rendy, do you want to say something about your committee? Is everybody aware of your...
Immediately following.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There box lunches will be brought in, I believe.
All right. There's so nothing else to come before the board, we stand adjourned. Thank you. Hey.